It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder announced his resignation today. We'll look at his legacy and who President Obama may be considering to replace him.
First, as the midterm elections approach, we often hear about how crucial women and women's issues will be in the election.
According to the Pew Research Center, health care and reproductive rights are high on women's list of election priorities, with more than half of women voters saying reproductive rights will be very important in their decision this fall.
With us now is Joan Walsh, editor-at-large of Salon.com. She's in town for an event called V to Shining V, which uses humor to celebrate women and look at the state of reproductive rights going into the election. Joan, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you grew up in Wisconsin, you went to school at the university here, and then you left to become the editor-at-large of Salon.com. This weekend you're coming back for an event called V to Shining V. Tell us about that. What is it?
Well, this is an event nationwide. We're trying to sponsor lots of fun, lots of parties to promote issues around women's reproductive rights and reproductive health. It's a project of a group called Lady Park Justice, and if you think that's a funny name, it's intended to be. We've really come together around the crackdown on women's health access in the last 4 years. There have been literally hundreds of laws passed restricting access to birth control, restricting access to abortion, even restricting access to subsidized care, preventive care before the Affordable Care Act passed. And, you know, some of us have been wondering for a while how we've made so much social progress in so many ways, and yet on these issues we seem to be moving backwards. So Lady Parks Justice is mainly a collaborative of comedians. I'm not one of them. But the great Liz Winstead, co-founder of The Daily Show, and Sarah Silverman are the real movers and shakers behind this, trying to get people to have fun while they're doing politics and not look at politics as, you know, something that's just drudgery.
Right. It's an interesting mix. There's a combination of comedy and a serious political agenda. Why did you decide that this was a good combination to have, those two?
I think we're trying to reach people who are not necessarily motivated by politics, you know, around issues of women's rights, the crucial constituencies who generally vote to advance women's rights are young people, people of color, and women themselves, particularly unmarried women. And these are constituencies that, unfortunately, they may turn out every 4 years in presidential elections. Even then, not as much as as much as we would hope they do, but they really drop off in the midterms. And it seems to be, you know, looking at the last decade or so, that candidates who advance women's rights do pretty well in presidential years, and then there's backsliding in the midterm. So it was kind of an effort, just the way, you know, I like to think of Liz helping create The Daily Show and bring humor and irony and satire to really serious topics. And now you have young people saying, for better or worse, saying they get their news from The Daily Show because they really appreciate the humor and the heart. I think, you know, the same thoughts are behind Lady Parks Justice, that we have to reach people who don't necessarily think of themselves as political, and, you know, humor and culture are ways to do that.
Now, we hear time and time again that women are important in elections, but yet they don't seem to vote as a cohesive block around women's issues. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, you know, obviously women are very diverse, and there are, you know, if you really dig down and get wonky about the numbers, which I like to do sometimes because I'm not a comedian, you know, there are big differences in the voting behavior of single women versus married women. Single women tend to vote more for both women's issues as well as on economic issues that are important to women. Married women, whether because they, you know, feel the security of being in a marriage, there are lots of theories about it, tend to be somewhat more conservative. There are big differences between, you know, sad to say it as a white woman, between white women and particularly black women who tend to be more attuned to the women's rights agenda as well. And so, you know, it's not that we want all women to think the same way, but we are trying to reach women who have concerns about these issues but may not be as likely to vote as, you know, I mean, I grew up in a nice upper-middle-class suburb, Shorewood, and it was just expected that you went and you registered to vote and you turned out to vote. It was just as routine as going to school and going to college, and all those things are related, right? In poorer communities, it's more of a day-to-day struggle to just get your life, you know, taken care of. And it's also, I think, poorer communities, single people, young people, haven't necessarily seen the usefulness of voting, and so there's less of a habit. It's just not as ingrained as with, you know, older white, upper-middle-class, and wealthy people. It's just what you do, and other communities not so much. So we're trying to reach out. We're trying to have some fun with it at the same time as we call attention to some really serious issues.
Now, we have this big midterm election coming up. What are the hopes and goals of Lady Parts Justice for the midterms?
Well, you know, we don't promote candidates. We promote issues. So the hopes and goals would be to, you know, turn out more women, to turn out more young people, and to get people to focus on women's rights. I mean, Wisconsin's a great example. There are now 96% of Wisconsin counties don't have any kind of abortion services provider in those counties. And it's not just that they're tiny rural counties that, you know, where nobody lives, that really covers more than 80% of Wisconsin women. So, you know, to exercise a basic human right, medical right, legal right, women are having to travel long distances, and you know, that makes access dubious and costly and sometimes impossible for women. So that's just one example.
Is your organization partisan, or is it something that splits, you know, in both directions?
Well, it's for everybody if you're interested in advancing women's rights. I mean, you know, we don't endorse Republicans or Democrats. You know, I'm sure most people would look at the things that we care about and consider us liberal. But, you know, there was a time in this country when, let's say, for example, Planned Parenthood was a wealthy Republican lady's cause. You know, Barry Goldwater's wife was a leader. Barbara Bush was very active. George H.W. Bush, Richard Nixon called him Rubbers because he was such an advocate of of contraception funding in Congress. These used to be absolutely bipartisan issues. And, you know, a really conservative, I would say radical cadre of people devoted themselves to making these issues controversial and to driving apparently a lot of Republican office holders away from them. And, you know, I have friends who are, you know, Republicans active in Planned Parenthood trying to hold on to that legacy. And, you know, I certainly wish them good luck with that. It would be great to take these issues out of the political realm. But, you know, a small group of people put them there. And for a long time, you know, people weren't adequately fighting back. I think we've seen people using humor, using culture, learning how to talk about this again, and maybe, you know, in a few years, these will not be controversial issues anymore. We can dream anyway.
In the past couple of years, we've seen language from activists saying that the country isn't engaged in a war on women. Do you agree with that? I haven't heard that language quite as much anymore, but is that still something that you think is true?
I think whether or not you know, like the rhetoric of war, I think it's pretty incontrovertible that we are going backwards when it comes to many women's rights. It's not just contraception. You know, there was just a vote to the Paycheck Fairness Act just failed in the Senate. It had a majority, but it couldn't bust the filibuster. And you know, that, again, used to be not as controversial. I think there's really a lack of attention to issues of poverty, which, sadly, again, are women's issues. Two-thirds of adults in poverty are women. two-thirds of, or more than two-thirds of minimum wage workers are women, and we can't get an increase in the minimum wage. And so, you know, and there's just been a lot of, certainly in 2012, you know, with all the unfortunate commentary about legitimate rape, you know, there was a real attempt to cast women as liars in terms of that whole thing came up because, the congressman in question, Todd Akin, was arguing that there doesn't need to be exceptions in any abortion ban for cases of rape because, you know, women don't get pregnant if it's a legitimate rape, meaning women are lying about being raped in order to have access to abortion. And so, you know, there is a lot of rhetoric that treats women as, you know, lesser people. The whole battle over birth control came down to, you know, calling women sluts and prostitutes, and really trying to shame women when, you know, a lot of people, as we've discussed repeatedly over the years, women should have access to birth control for birth control reasons, but a lot of women use birth control for other medical reasons. And, you know, it's a condescending, bullying kind of attitude to say that, you know, the government should get between a woman and her doctor. And so there's a real, you know, I think women made a lot of strides, and there's certainly been a backlash. And, you know, I think we've seen that in the last few years.
Joan, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Joan Walsh. She's editor-at-large of Salon.com and an MSNBC political analyst. You can find more information about Saturday's Vita Shining V event at LadyPartsJustice.com.